We are starting this so late.
Yes, it is 10:09 p.m. I've just come back, or we've just come back, from one of my wonderful burlesque shows.
Woo!
Yay! Which Violet von Dutch, which is my good self, performed for the first time with her new school. And they were fabulous.
Indeed.
They're called Bombshells, and we're awesome.
I can guarantee it was awesome and fabulous, and I'm very tired, so you know that can just make things messy. Susie's on a high.
I'm running on adrenaline.
Susie doesn't need to work tomorrow.
No.
I do. Woo.
Thank you, Eka.
I get Wednesday off.
Trev gets Wednesday, yes. I get tomorrow.
Yes.
So you be. Yay.
Indeed. So since I'm so tired, shall we get on with this?
Yes, we shall. I'm sorry.
That's all good.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. Stop apologizing. Oh, boy.
You know I laugh all the way through this.
Yes.
Okay. Serious faces now. Game faces, everyone.
What the?
History. 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 History.
Hello, and welcome to the What the History podcast, your fortnightly bits of bizarre history to make you say, what the history?
What the indeed.
Yes, indeed. I am one of your hosts, Trevor Holland, and I am joined by...
Susie Holland.
And what bit of fascinating, bizarre history do you have for us this evening?
Okay, well, I haven't travelled too far from the last podcast we did when we were in Venice for the Pink Floyd gig. Yippee! We're still in Venice. Now, one of the most awesome things about writing for What the History is I get to research stories from around the world. So it's like taking a little trip every time. But as I said, we are still in Venice. But, like I said, we're not for a Pink Floyd concert because that was last time. Okay, Pink Floyd's gone home. Hopefully Venice is now cleaned up a bit and is no longer a toilet. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go back to last week's one or last fortnight's one.
Yep.
It'll all make sense, trust me. But now we're on a trip to Poviglia, an island between Venice, so we haven't gone too far, and Lido in the South Lagoon. And it sounds gorgeous, doesn't it? It would be if your thing is visiting the dumping ground of the sick, diseased and dying, and also dead. And it doesn't matter at all to us here what the history, if it is, we are not judgmental whatsoever. And I think it sounds interesting. So let's go on a Venetian boat trip.
Hooray!
Yay! Poviglia has ruined buildings such as a mental hospital, which used to be a quarantine station, a crumbling 12th century church, of which the bell tower is the first thing people notice when they visit the island, and an octagonal-shaped battlement, which was built in the 14th century to deter the invading Genovese soldiers. Venice and Genoa were rivals, and they had been battling it out for years. In the 19th century, during the Napoleonic Wars, the battlements were used by the English to ambush the French, with French ships littering the bottom of the lagoon around the octagon, and stories of prisoners being taken onto the island and burnt were commonplace. As we'll see, the act of burning people on Poviglia was a pretty common occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 421, Poviglia's proximity to mainland Italy via Venice made it a popular location for people to escape marauding tribes, and their population began to grow. Not the marauding tribes, but the new residents of Poviglia. There were no taxes from the mainland, and the population took care of themselves and each other until the 14th century, when the population dwindled away as they died or moved back to the mainland. In 1348, the bubonic plague hit Venice, and Poviglia became the place to send the dead and the dying on a one-way ticket, with their bodies being burnt in giant funeral pyres. Can you imagine the view of these giant pyres from Venice, which is less than 10 minutes by boat, and the smell? Then, in 1630, bubonic plague part 2 revisited, and the same thing happened again, with Poviglia called into service as a dumping ground for the diseased, dying and dead. And there's also a rumour that 50% of the topsoil on Poviglia is made up of human ash. 50%.
Because, plants probably grow well.
Yeah. Apparently the vineyard's the place to be. There's an old vineyard on Poviglia.
Okay.
It grows rather well. Oh dear. The nearby small islands of Lazzaretto Nuovo and Lazzaretto Vecchio, there was also a one-way ticket for plague victims, and there has been massive plague pits discovered, but as yet, Pavilia strangely hasn't been excavated. Lazzaretto, for those out there, means an isolation hospital for people with infectious diseases, especially leprosy or plague. In 1403, when Lazzaretto Vecchio was opened as a lazzaretto exclusively with Lazzaretto Nuovo and Pavilia following close behind, these three islands made up the quarantine stations, with Vecchio being the first of its kind anywhere in the world. And Venice being Venice, close proximity to pretty much the gateway, yeah, they had to be very, very careful. So here people entering Venice would be stopped and checked for any kinds of disease, and the ship's cargo was also checked. The length of the quarantine time was 40 days. In Italian, 40 days is 40 giorni, and that's where we get the word quarantine from. During these times, life on Pavilia was fun, and those under quarantine lived comfortably. Just not during the plague times, when it was turned from a waiting area into hell for the dying. In the late 1800s, a makeshift hospital was built on Pavilia that was used to house the mentally ill that Venice could no longer abide. It was known as a place of exile and not rehabilitation. Knowing now what was classified as mental illness, in big quotation marks there, in the late 1800s, one can see how many people also scored that one-way ticket to the island, with gorgeous views of their former home of Venice. In my research of this island, which is counted as one of the most haunted places in the world, I haven't come across any evidence of anyone making it off Pavilia and back to Venice or anywhere else for that matter. So the patient would get the not-so-golden ticket to Pavilia and they would die there. Now, every horror movie has a mental hospital that has a mad doctor that conducted experiments on the patients. Unfortunately, on Pavilia, this was the truth, with one experiment being documented as, trigger warning everyone, okay, bear with us. One of these experiments was shoving a chisel into a living patient's brain to see which part of the body twitched, and I find that absolutely disgusting and gruesome. In the 1930s, apparently crippled by his guilt, the doctor that conducted the experiments threw himself off the bell tower of the church. Some say some of the patients he tortured banded together and gave him a little push, but he didn't die on impact. The stories claimed a ghostly mist moved over his mangled body and finished him off, and on some nights one can still hear the bell in the tower, which was removed years ago. In the mid-20th century, the buildings were used to house Venice's aged, homeless population, with its latest incarnation being closed in the late 1960s or early to mid-1970s, with the island now deserted. TripAdvisor tells me that one can go to Pavilia with a company called City Tours, with a trip to the island leaving from San Marco in Venice, despite rumours and stories that no one wants to go anywhere near the island and refuse to take you. Anyone want to go on a boat trip and say, what the with me?
Well, I will.
I will?
Yeah.
Oh, well, because I'm going myself. Lots of photos of this place, and it does look creepy. Lots of things on YouTube as well. Go look it up. Thank you. Yes.
Good stuff. Well, islands, hey?
Islands.
Islands can be mysterious.
Yes, they can be.
They can be very mysterious. And let's face it.
Like Fantasy Island, that was pretty mysterious.
That was just odd.
Anyway. You know what my favourite one would have been? Or was?
I'm very tired.
I'm not.
You're stomping all over my segue.
I'm sorry. I will get off your segue. Here's me getting off your segue.
Let's face it, we live in an age where not much is hidden. Connected networks linking to cameras, satellites, and thousands of research locations and vessels worldwide really means that only the most inaccessible locations remain any sort of mystery. Well, you'd think so anyway. Kind of makes you wonder how an island about 1,500 miles long and 3 miles wide, approximately the same size as Manhattan over in America, that was located in the South Pacific Ocean between Australia and New Caledonia, could appear on maps in 2012, despite the fact It never existed. What the history here, you ask? Let me explain.
Whoops.
The first known record of this mysterious island came from a 1908 British chart showing a sandy island, dump up the desk, located approximately 500 miles northwest of New Caledonia in the Coral Sea. The discovery is attributed to a French whaling vessel known as the Velocity, whose crew noted the island's location in 1876. Wikipedia does make note of James Cook noting a sandy island in a similar location. However, I've not been able to find much in the way of supporting evidence for that. That's just a nice little aside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over the intervening years, it appears the island has been undiscovered a number of times, leading it to having the label ED, which stands for Existence Doubtful, on many charts and being fully removed from French maps in 1974.
Been demoted.
It has. Yet it remained. A persistent blob of land located in the midst of the ocean. It continued to appear on official maritime maps, a 1982 US defense map, Yahoo maps, and even as a dark blob on Google Earth. So why was this apparently non-existent location so persistent? Maria Seaton, a scientist at the University of Sydney, researched this matter and found evidence pointing towards the Worldwide Vector Shoreline Database, or WVS for short, which was developed by the US military. The purpose of the database was to convert old hard copy charts into a digital format. However, it did not take into account if any of those charts had errors, and there were many, from just a few decades back to the century-plus discovery of Sandy Island. Since other digital mapping services pulled their data from the WVS, it meant that these errors were duplicated multiple times, inevitably leading to that blob on Google Earth. Come October 2012, Maria Seaton led a team of researchers on an expedition on board the Australian research vessel, the RV Southern Surveyor. The purpose was to study how tectonic forces had affected the evolution of the ocean floor. During their explorations, they headed towards the alleged location of Sandy Island, clearly marked on the General Bathymetric Chart of the Oceans, which was one of the sources of their data, but the chart used by the ship's captain only showed open water. What happens next is probably best described by Maria, who stated, and I quote, "We had a cache version of Google Earth for the area, we had no internet, and saw that the island was depicted as a big black blob. This also made us very suspicious." End quote. When this was reported, it made big news in cartographic circles. Many wondered if the island had eroded or sunk. However, data from the research study showed the ocean floor, where Sandy Island was meant to be, was between 1,488 and 2,353 metres, leaving little doubt to its non-existence. But what could have prompted the initial discovery? Again, Maria Seaton comes to the rescue. Her research indicates that the sailors on board the Velocity most likely saw a very large pumice raft. Pumice rafts are formed when underwater volcanic activity pushes pumice to the surface. As pumice is very light, it can float for quite some time until the waves and tides break it apart. To support this theory, Maria referenced the eruption of such a volcano in 2012, which sent pumice on a journey of over 22,000 square kilometres, which went right through the area where Sandy Island was thought to have been. In April of 2013, Maria published an obituary for Sandy Island in EOS, the Earth and Space Science News Journal, finally putting the persistent landmass to rest. Google Earth has also removed it. And that is the story of Sandy Island, one of the most what-the-places that never existed.
That's great. Oh, dear, I would have loved to have seen the obituary.
I've seen it. It's very extensive. In fact, yeah.
Sorry.
Indeed. So, there we go. A bit of a island hop on our What the History Tonight.
Yes,
which
yes,
I
yes.
hope you out there have enjoyed. Now, of course, if you do want to know more about anything that we've talked about, we do have our references down below.
Mm-hmm. Mine are awesome.
Mine are pretty good too.
Oh, yes.
Including the obituary.
Yes, yes, at least you've got the obituary. Oh, yes. There it is. 1876 to 2012. Wow.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Sandy Island.
How can it rest in peace when it was never there in the first place?
I don't know.
Okay. And of course, if you would like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you, and we're very easy to get in touch with. It's always great when we do it tied. You can find us on Facebook at the What the History podcast page there. You can find us on Twitter at pod_what, or use the hashtag WTHpod to track us down.
I do that a lot.
Or you can send, it's the best way to find us on Google. Or you can send us an email to WTHpod@rufusproject.com. We would love to hear from you.
We would.
We would indeed.
Tell your cats, tell your dogs, tell your birds. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell each other.
Tell everybody you know at a burlesque show.
Oh.
And if you're in the mood for more silly, we haven't done much in the way of cross-promotion here.
That's me. I'm silly.
You can also find some more fun podcasts done by myself and the king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. At RufusProject.com, where we look at movies with questionable pedigrees and see if we can redeem them. The latest one was the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yay!
And
love that movie so much.
And I think that's probably enough. I'm going to fall over soon, so we shall be back in a couple of weeks' time with two more bizarre bits of history to make you say,
what the history? Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. Oh, Chef, wake up. Come on.
Bye.